Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, please, and turn to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2. 1 Timothy, chapter 2. And let's stand, please, as we honor the reading of God's Word. 1 Timothy, chapter 2. And we'll begin reading at verse number 1 tonight. First Timothy, chapter 2, begin with verse number 1. The Bible says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. All right, Brother Josh, would you please pray for this, and everybody can be seated here tonight.
Lord, thank you for bringing us out here.
So yes. Yes. Yes, God, please. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All right, tonight is Wednesday night, and Wednesday night is the usual service that we spend time in prayer for one another and others who are in need of prayer. And, well, I'll say this, most Bible believers are pretty faithful to spend time in prayer for the lost. They're pretty faithful to spend time in prayer for the sick, pretty faithful to spend time in prayer for the sin sick. Most would have to admit that they spend a lot of time doing that. If they pray at all, of course they're going to do that. However, most Bible believers would also have to admit that they spend more time griping and complaining about the government than they do praying for the government. I'm just as guilty as anyone. I think the leaders of this country as a whole are godless and clueless. Godless and clueless. And those are the most low-key things I can say. I really want to say something else, but I'm not. I will just stick with godless and clueless tonight. But the Bible gives a clear command that believers are to pray for those who are in authority. Now, it's all right. Listen to me tonight, and we get ready, and we'll go through this here in a moment. It's all right to call out sin, and it's all right to preach about the sin of a nation and the sin of a nation's leader. Amen. I believe a preacher has failed his people, he's failed his calling, and he's failed his God when he's afraid to do so. But if that man is really concerned about obeying the Scripture, then he will pray for the leaders of a nation and teach his people to pray for the leaders of a nation. It is a funny thing to me that Bible believers will preach about everything but this. They will rightly divide everything but this. They conveniently skip this part. And by the way, this is church age. This is Paul. This is a pastoral epistle to be done in your church. He's talking to a young preacher about this. So we're going to do it. Not because it's popular among Bible believers, but because it's popular in the King James Bible, the Word of God. Amen? Tonight I want to preach for a few minutes on the subject of prayer for politicians. But it's probably not going to be what you think it is, because as we get into this scripture here tonight, we are going to see that what you and I think we ought to be praying for our political leaders is not what he tells us to pray about. He's going to tell you in this passage, and I'm going to show it to you with God's help, why you and I are to pray for our political leaders, pray for those that are in authority, but there's something in particular and some reason why we're praying, what we want out of it. Now, I have three things here tonight, and that'll be the message, and it won't be a long one, but I hope it'll help us. Number one, I want us to look at the exhortation. The exhortation. And you find that in verse number one. Paul says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all. So the thing he says is, I'm exhorting you. He's saying, and notice what he says. He said, not only am I exhorting you, this is not a suggestion. This is something I'm encouraging you, I'm wanting you to do. He says it's to be done first. Notice what he says. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, he says, when I'm going to talk to you about prayer and prayer in the church and prayer for people, here we go. Number one, here's the starting point. You are to be praying for those that are in authority. See, it's real cold in here right now. Because you don't, what we want to do as Bible believers, and I'm right there with you, man, is just complain. And talk about how wicked they are, and they sure are. But I want you to stay with me till we get to the final point and find out just why it is we are supposed to pray for them. But it says it's a priority. It's to be done. And notice what he says. It's to be made for all men. It's not a suggestion. It says for kings. Verse number 2. And for all that are in authority. Did you see what he told you to do? He said it's to be made for all men. And then he tells you it's for kings. Now we don't have a king, but we have a president. And for all that are in authority, all the leaders from the top all the way down, he said you ought to be praying for them. And I'm sure they need it. And it's what you ought to do. And listen. Our prayer many times, and I'm jumping way ahead of myself, but I need to, so you'll stay with me. Our prayer many times, and the reason that we are to pray for these leaders and these politicians, isn't so much for their benefit as it is for ours. Now, you do read down there where it says that God would have all to be saved. He tells you right after that, not only is it his will, but John Calvin had it wrong. See, his will right there is that all men are to be saved. And then he says all men are to come unto the knowledge of the truth. It's God's perfect will for everybody to be saved and then everybody to come to some truth after salvation. Obviously, we know a great deal won't. But it's his will that they would. They just don't do what he wants them to do. But listen, I am for praying. I wish they would get, I mean, if they would get saved, that definitely would help, okay? I would like for you to pray for them to get saved. I would like for them to come into the truth. Even corrupt politicians can get saved every once in a while. Amen. But that's not the main reason we are to pray for them, is for them to get saved. Pray for them to get saved. I hope they will, but most aren't. Now, this is going to shock some of you, but God's already said what he thinks about people that run this world. And you probably don't even know the reference. Some of you, I guarantee you, you do, but I'm going to give it to you. You know what God thinks about the people that he puts in authority of this world? Not what the world thinks about them. Here we go. The bottom's going to drop out. Daniel chapter 4, verse number 17. This matter is by decree of the watchers and the demands by the word of the Holy One. Listen, church. To the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it. What's he talking about? He's given the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basis of men. You know what God said? He said the folks that I put in charge are the worst sort. Politicians are the worst sort. Now listen. I know we have, every once in a while you have a saved one here, and every once in a while you have one that stands for the Lord here. We have a great local state representative here, Brother Rusty. I believe he loves the Lord, believe he's trying to do what's right. He's the exception to the exception to the rule. The main part is what that book says. And listen, don't fall out with me because you've got some kind of kinfolk that's a politician or whatever. I'm sticking with the King James Bible. That King James Bible, God said that when it comes to setting up rulers in the kingdoms of the earth, and he's the one in charge of it, he says, I take the basis of men. Do you know what basis means? The lowest, worst scum there is, and I put them in charge. That's what I think about politicians. Well, glory. Now you know why they act like they do. They're the worst, and they're the worst in the bunch running the countries. Somebody said, "You know what a politician is, don't you?" Poly means many, and tick for titians is tick, so it's many ticks, bloodsuckers. I don't know. Might be some truth to it. I don't know, but the exhortation is to pray for them. But listen to me. When you start getting into this people that's controlling the world and the deep state and the people behind the scenes that's really in control and the people that's really pulling the strings and punching the buttons, we talk about the Illuminati and the Bilderbergers and the Jesuits and all that stuff. I don't know. Just shake them all up in one bag. They all come out looking like the same thing. Those folks aren't good people. The people that's running this world and in the top echelons of power, they're not good people. They're the basis of sorts. So our prayer isn't necessarily for God to save them, although you can pray that and we hope that he will. There's another reason why he commanded them to be praying for those in authority. And I'll show it to you here in a moment. So that's the exhortation. Number two, let's look at the example. He gives you an example of four things that he wants to be involved when he's talking about prayer there. He says supplications, number one, prayers, number two, intercessions, number three, and giving of thanks. Now, you know what a supplication is? That's an earnest, humble entreating. He said when it comes to praying for these folks that are in authority, you need to earnestly and humbly entreat God for these men. Something like this where he uses that word supplications over in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. See, he mentions three of the four there in that one verse that he does over here. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So it's prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, intercession. So you have prayer. So you know what prayer is, don't you? That's communion with God. That's you talking to God about the situation. So what he says is, he says, about these people that are in authority, you ought to be making supplication, earnest prayer for them. You ought to be communing with God and talking about them to God. Intercessions. Now you know what to intercede for someone is, don't you? It means to intervene or to plead on the behalf of another. That's what Christ is sitting up there at the right hand of the Father. Right now he's making intercessions for us that are saved, the Bible says. And we are to be interceding on behalf of these people that are in authority. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you heard a full-fledged, no joking around, Bible-believing, rightly divided Baptist preacher preach this text? They won't preach it. They're so disgusted with what's going on, they jump right over church-age doctrine. Listen, this stuff is important, and I'm going to show you why this needs to be preached. And for God's sake, it needs to be preached and obeyed right now, especially in this country, in the mess we're in. But the example is prayers, intercession, supplication, and giving of thanks. You know what God wants us to do every time we approach him about one of these leaders? Give thanks for the good ones we have, because we've had some good, bad, and ugly. And just say, God, thank you. I just want to thank you, God. We may have some bad ones, but we have had some good ones. And thank you, God, it's been as good as it has been in this country. Amen. We've been given much better than we deserve in this country. I mean, the bottom could have dropped out a long time ago. It dropped out suddenly, and I couldn't believe how it's done around here. And I got to thinking about how discouraging it was and the fact that it's probably never going to change again to some degree. But then I got to thinking, man, why don't you sit there and be thankful? As that thing says, give thanks. Why don't you thank God for all the years that you've lived in America and you preached on the street and you've held up signs and you passed out tracts and you stood and preached like a wild man in churches all over America and nobody from the government's ever fooled with you. So thank God for how good he's been to us, because he could have shut this thing down 30 years ago and been right about it. 30 years ago. And he'd been right about it. So we need to approach them like that. But then here's the most important part of the message. The explanation. This is the main point of the message. And before I show you in the Bible what the main reason is that we pray for those that are in authority, we pray for our leaders, I want you to understand why we don't pray for them. So you hear a lot of crazy stuff on TV. If you ever do get a preacher on TV, he's some kind of social gospel preacher. He ain't got the sense God gave a billy goat. He don't know anything about the Bible, rightly divided. He don't even care. He just get on there and, you know, we want to go dig wells somewhere in another country for somebody and feed everybody and give everybody, you know, equal rights and all that kind of stuff. And then send them on to hell. That's what the social gospel does. Feed you, clothe you, roost you, and put you in hell. But the main reason that we pray for leaders are not these reasons. Number one, we don't pray for world peace. You're wasting your time. You can spend that air and that effort and all that praying for something else that's actually going to come to pass. World peace. Listen, man, world peace is not coming. How do you know, Brother Dennis? Because I read the Bible. World peace is not coming until Jesus Christ comes back and he rules and he reigns from Jerusalem. The City of Peace. Isn't that a weird thing to name that city? You study the history of Jerusalem from the first time you see it over there in the Bible till right now. That place ain't never been a place of peace. It's always fussing and fighting and worried about a bomb coming in and somebody whips somebody and they take it and then somebody else goes in and attacks them and they take it and it keeps swapping hands and over and over and over. And now they got the mosque there right there where the temple's supposed to be and all that kind of stuff. You say, that place ain't never been a place of peace. Well, it's going to be. When my Savior comes back and he rules and reigns and David's up there ruling and reigning with him, somehow or another, he ain't the same place as Christ, but he's there. I'm telling you right now, there's going to be peace in Jerusalem. But you wasting your time praying for world peace. We're going to be out of here. We're going to be out of here, and the tribulation period take place, and all before that ever even starts. So that's not why you pray for the politicians. You don't pray for economic stability. Hey, man, I hope we have economic stability. If you want to spend a little bit of time praying about that, fine. Pray about health care. The older I'm getting, the more concerned I'm getting about it. You want to pray about Social Security? Knock yourself out. I mean, I paid in all these years. I'd like to get a little bit if they will. But that's not why you pray for your leaders. You pray that they'll wise up to the nonsense of socialistic health care and wasting taxpayers' money on meaningless and many times sinful projects. Yes, I'm upset about it too. But that's not why you're told to pray for them. You don't pray so you can get our man in office and our party to have the majority of the seats in the House and the Senate. I would like that too, but that's not why you pray for them. We pray, this is it, listen. We pray that these men will act in such a way that we personally, us saved people, can live, the Bible says, a quiet and peaceable life that's enabling us to live honestly and godly. Do you see the text? He says, you pray for them. He says, I exhort therefore that first of all, you do all this praying for them, for kings, verse number 2, for all that are in authority. Why? He tells you why. That we, us that are saved, may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Amen. He said, you pray for the leaders so that the leaders won't fool with you about living for the Lord and taking a stand for Jesus Christ, that they won't, that you can live a peaceful life and you can walk in godliness and do it with honesty. What you're praying about is freedom to preach that book. You want God to do something to those leaders in this country and leaders all the way down to the city, government, city, so we can continue to preach the Bible. We can continue to have freedom to come to church. We can continue to have freedom to preach on the street and in the church. That God will stay the hand of persecution, that we can get something done for him. That we will find favor with our city council, with our mayor, with our governor, with our state representatives, all the way up to the president, that we are able to do what God put us down here on this earth to do. That's why we pray for them. Not to benefit us or pad our pockets. We pray for them so we can have no nonsense out of Washington. Let them run the White House and bless God, let us run the church house. That's why we pray for them. So leave us alone and let us do what God put us on the earth to bring him honor and glory. And that's why we are sinning, I believe, by not fulfilling this command. We might not have to go through it. And listen, I've told you, I believe the bottom's going to fall out for America way before the rapture. I've taught that for years, and I think we're seeing some of it. But God has a way for us to get, he has a way for his children to get through it. He has a way for his children to respond. He still wants us to carry on and do the things that he's called us to do. No matter what this crazy government does. It's getting crazier by the minute. Pray that we can put into effect legislation that is against lawlessness and wickedness. Because we have some that's not. God help us. It never even crossed my mind, never even entered into my mind that one day I'd have to be preaching against the nonsense of a country that says we don't even want a police force. You know what that is? That's way back yonder. That ain't evolution. That's going backwards. That's way back yonder in Kings. Every man do that which was right in his own eyes. And then Judges. It's crazy. Now listen, I'll get ready to sum this up and close here tonight. If you as a child of God here tonight, if you want to complain about the government of this country, then help yourself, because I sure do. And I don't intend on stopping either. I'm going to keep on complaining. Amen. You're just going to have to hear it. Or just do like Darby does, just walk away. she'll go find her something else to do. She don't want to hear my nonsense. So, ain't that right, honey? Amen. Just walk away. But listen, I got to ask you this, church. I've got to ask you this. Do you spend just as much time in supplication and intercession for that godless outfit as you do griping about them? Yes, throw an occasional prayer in there that they would get saved. I don't want nobody to go to hell. I want them to get saved. I want them to get some truth. You know most of them aren't. Most of them's full of the devil or devils or unclean spirits or something. You pray for them. You pray for them so we can have leadership that will leave us alone and let us worship and serve our God. That's why you pray for them. And I want to encourage you, if you're not spending any time praying that way, start tonight. It's biblical. It's right. May God help us to pray for the leaders, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life, which will help us to live a godly life and an honest life and do what God put us on earth to do. And that's to point men to Christ and to bring honor and glory to his name. Amen, church. Amen, church. God bless you. Have a good night.